Welcome back to B&E. It's Thursday morning here, Austin, Texas. He is taking a couple days off, playing a little golf. We got family in town, and good for him. Get those couple days and rejuvenate yourself. Get back here on Monday and get going again. And Colonel Craig Flowers is with me from the High Ground. It's always good to talk to him. It's always good to have him in because we are Old Man Radio with Old Man Stories, which is fabulous. Zay Collier, of course, doing what he does best. And he's getting better and better at it, Colonel. I'm telling you, he is. He's
those drops.
Yeah,
that he
man.
Has.
He's getting the drops all down, but he's participating in this show like nobody's business. You know, we had the youngsters that come in here with us, and then they go on and have their own shows, or they go on and do great things because we run them out pretty damn quick. This business. Don't stay very long. We run their ass smooth out of here as guys that work behind the scenes because they can't. Eventually, they get sick of. As we get older, they get younger, they get smarter, and they get out of here. Us, we just kind of hang around for the paycheck, brother.
Zay is in it to win it. He's produced for us on the High Ground. He's produced with Wags. I mean, I listen to him all over the place, and he's getting very confident and timely with his drops.
Where he's going to screw up his career is that hanging out with Wags crap. That's where things eventually are going to head downhill for him if he continues to do that. So
Wags on vacation right now.
Yeah, I
he's been showing the tweets.
He is like Twitter. Is he still married, Zay? Is he still got a family?
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, doing very well.
But
very
he's off
happy.
On his own right now.
No, I think the wife and the kids are with him.
Oh, okay. So they got him in check. He's really not having as much fun as he thinks he's having.
He's making it seem like
he is, huh?
Oh gosh.
Oh, I thought they were back here, and Wags was. That's why he's not going to let him go down the coast by himself.
Yeah, Wags might not make it back, especially being a diehard Maryland Terrapin fan and the fact that Coach K's retiring next
yes.
year. Wags might have a little bit too much to drink.
And on that note, thank you very much, Zay. That's a great segue. Coach K retiring.
You bet.
Yeah, I know there's some that just out and out hate Duke. And speaking of Army, Coach K spent some time at
Yeah, Coach K was Bobby Knight's point guard at Army, West Point graduate. The only ring that he wears is his West Point ring, and spent a lot of time with him when he would come. He would often come to West Point and talk, and when I was coaching at the baseball team there, he'd come down and talk to the team. We spent a lot of time with him when he coached Kevin Durant with the USA baseball team. It was this was an interesting story he shared with us, is that he was in a team meeting, and Kevin Durant's sitting up front, and Coach K's breaking down some film, and Kevin then was very shy. He's a self-described introvert. He was sitting in the front, had his shoulder slumped, his head down, and Coach is breaking down some film. And at the end of the session, he calls Kevin up, and he says, "Hey, Kevin, listen, when we're together, this is the behavior we expect of our team. You sit up straight, shoulders back, eyes up on the board, and great body language. We're going to communicate verbally and non-verbally,
right,
on and off the court, just like LeBron did last night when he walked off 5 minutes. 60% of our communications is non-verbal."
Absolutely.
And Kevin right away said, "Hey, Coach, I'm so sorry. I was paying attention. I was listening. But, you know, I'm just shy. I'm in here with all this talent." And Coach didn't accept that. He said, "Hey, I appreciate that. You can be shy and introverted on your own time. But here, this is what we require to on this team, in this organization." The next day, same situation, one of the first things that he brings up is a picture of Kevin Durant with his jaw clenched and sweat running down his brow and a piercing look out of his eyes, and he points to the back of the room and he said, "LeBron, when you see Kevin look like this, what does that communicate to you?" And LeBron said, "Coach, when I see him get that look, I know we're going to win." And Coach K just looked down at Kevin Durant, who was sitting in the front row again, and Kevin nodded his head. So 60% of our communications is nonverbal, whether in any organization.
True.
Whether you're Michael Dell, Kevin Durant, Bucky, anybody, producer. I mean, so we've got to pay attention to that. And that's a little Coach K story. Interesting that it is going to be a long, drawn-out year for sure, and it'll be over the
and
top.
You know what?
They'll jump the shark.
And I like it, and I appreciate the fact that he's not retiring this year when they haven't played that well, when they don't make the tournament. He wants to try to gather them together for one more shot of it, and that's what a champion does. They're not going to say, "You know what? Now I can go out this way. I already got enough accolades. I've got enough rings and everything else. People understand I'm one of the greatest basketball coaches, not just college basketball coaches, but I can leave no matter win, lose, or draw. That dude does not want to go out like this. That's kind of a champion to me of what he is and the way he coaches. Yeah, it's been sort of easy. He's had it pretty easy at Duke. A lot of people want to come to Duke. They want to play there. But he's built it to be that way. You know, that's when people say, well, Nick Saban gets the best players. Well, guess who built it to be that way? Nick Saban. I mean, he's the guy who built – that's why you want to go, because of that guy. So when people say, well, it's easy, he gets the best players. Well, guess who made it that way? Yeah. That guy. He's made it easy for you to come there because he's going to coach you. He's going to win games. Things are going to go the right way for you. By the way, you're going to graduate. You'll either graduate or go to the NBA, and I guarantee you Coach K is still back on a bunch of guys' ass about coming back, get your degree.
Just like you were.
Yeah, come back, get your degree. You know, it's you don't have to get 4 or 5 years in here, but you can always come back. By the way, you have the money to do that. By the way, we'll pay for it anyway. You don't even have to spend all that cash you've made. We'll take care of you if you come back and get your degree, because that shines a bright light on us.
Yeah.
So it's worth it to do that. But Zay, for him to when you we could talk about Mount Rushmore's. I hate all those comparisons between he and John Wooden, because I don't care if John Wooden cheated or whatever he did. Some of those years he didn't cheat. He was just the best.
He had Lou Alcindor, too. I mean,
yeah, that helps an awful lot. But Coach K, and some would say he cheats, too. But I guess if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But he's got to be one of the greatest coaches, not just college basketball coach, but just basketball coaches of all time.
Yeah, 1,000%. And Duke isn't easy to get into. Like, people talk about he always gets the best players and whatnot. He's probably had to pass on a lot of players, too, just because they couldn't get into the school. And that's just what it is. But, yeah, he's an all-time great. I remember that 2001 Duke team being one of the best college basketball teams of all time. They put their whole starting five, went in first round. So, yeah, he's the absolute, you know, in my opinion, he's the GOAT. Like, he's the GOAT in college basketball. And it's going to be hard to, you know, fill those shoes for John Shire, who played for him, I want to say, in the early 2000s. But they already got their coach. They knew that it was going to be a guy that
right.
was, you know, in the program. It had to be a person in the program. They weren't going to go search for anybody.
No.
So, yeah, that makes sense. And, yeah, Coach K has a legacy for a reason, and I hope he enjoys his retirement.
No doubt about it. I want to thank a couple people real quick, and I'll be doing this over the next 2 days, because next week from tomorrow is the 20th annual Mullet Open, benefiting the Burke Center for Youth. I love those kids over at the Burke Center. They're 25, 30 young boys that have had some really difficult times in their lives. They're there 24/7. They have wonderful folks out there to take care of them 24/7, and their lives are enriched by the things that we've done, but mostly by a lot of individuals that send things to them, send money to them, send saddles and stuff like that, that don't even play in this golf tournament. But one of the folks that have really jumped back in and really helped us out is Academy Sports and Outdoors, and that's Steve Lamb over there. And, you know, Academy had been missing for a little bit of time. They'd had so much transition, then COVID hit, and then we didn't have the tournament last year. But I got to thank Steve Lamon for what he's done. Academy Sports and Outdoors, if you're thinking about getting your gear, do go to Academy. That is a Texas made and bred wonderful sports store, and I love the folks there. I shop there an awful lot, and thank you to Steve. There's a award we give out, the Greg Miller Award, and to Mr. Miller and his family. We've been doing that, and that's for courage, and special person is going to receive that this year, and she is no longer with us, as a matter of fact, and I'm so happy to do that. We've done that over the last 4 or 5 years, and Greg Miller was a guy that, when I first started the Mullet Open, I went to Academy Sports and Outdoors, and I didn't ask for much. I said, can you give me a couple fishing poles and some tackle boxes? And he said, hell yeah. And Greg Miller died. He needed a liver transplant. And he had waited and waited and waited and waited, and it never happened, and he passed away. But he kept on working. He kept on fighting. He kept the battle up. And we give an award out each and every year for his courage, and the Greg Miller Award will be given out next week. And that's one of the big highlights of what we do at that. But Academy Sports and Outdoors, thank you. Louis Miller Barbecue, Wayne Miller, they're feeding over 200 people at the Mullet Open. And it wasn't a great year for a lot of folks. But Louis Miller Barbecue, they said, we're going to feed all your people again. No cost. You're going to have barbecue. You're going to have potato salad. You're going to have the best of the chicken.
That guy doesn't stutter.
Yeah. No. He just said, let's do it. Ron Whittington over at Whitten over at Cavender's. Of course, Cavender's Boots, yeah. And they do boots of all kinds, and they hooked me up with a lady named Trinity at Ariat Boots. Now, you know the folks at Chizos, and how about Ariat Boots giving up 14 pairs of boots and 14 jackets at $250 and $150? They're doing that, and they'll give away 14.
It's going to be the best mullet open ever.
It's going to be a lot of stuff.
I can't believe it.
There's a lot of stuff, and I want to thank Trinity over at Ariat Boots for doing that, and Ron Cavender's has been a big part of what we do, and of course, Tito Beverage.
Tito Beverage, that's your guy.
The number one guy I went to, and the first time I went to Tito when he had his place out in, and I don't want to get this wrong, I keep saying Kyle, but it's where the Texas Disposal place is. That's not Creedmoor.
Creedmoor.
And he's got his shop out at Creedmoor. I want to thank Tito Beverage. He is the one and only. Don't drink vodka, but if I did, I'd probably have to drink Tito's for sure. But I remember going out to Tito and asking him, and he said, Buck, what do you need for this? I said, I need a case of Tito's. And he said, okay. And for 20 straight years, Tito has risen to the occasion of about $50,000 in product. And I have cases upon cases. This is me, the alcoholic, who has cases upon cases of Tito's in my house. And Tito's has not stopped with just alcohol. It's golf bags. It's coolers. It's everything. It's the wonderful folks I've met over there, and Amy Lucan and Christina Crean over there, who make sure that I am whatever it is, godfathered into this thing no matter what. As long as I can do this, I will always get to have Tito's as part of what we do. So thank you to Tito Beverage for what he's done.
I knew how big he was when we were at the Kentucky Derby with my boy Jack a couple years ago, and there were people wearing Tito's suits, three-piece suits that were made out of the Tito's logo.
Oh, yeah.
At the Derby.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, Tito probably doesn't even know this is year 20. That's just how he is. He's doing his business.
Pretty humble guy.
Yeah, but he's very humble, and he's a community guy. I want to thank him. And over the next 2 days, I'll be thanking a lot of folks. And as I said, 20 years ago, and now I got 30 cases of Tito's instead of one case. And he just says, Buck, you go get what you need for these kids. And also the Refuge Ranch out there for – let's not forget that there are so many young women and men, and not women, but women, boys, and girls that are being sex trafficked. This is the largest state in the country for sex trafficking. Houston is the number one city. The Refuge Ranch houses about 64 girls. It's the largest facility in the country, and it's only 64. There are 79,000 sex trafficked girls in the state of Texas. The largest place for those girls is in Bastrop, and it only houses 64. Do you think some things are being swept under the rug in the state of Texas, in this country? Well, sex trafficking is, and we got to put a stop to it. And these sex traffickers are not, this is not from across the border. This is domestic. These young girls that you see, that you know, they're on the computers. These guys are on the computers after them. And not only are they guys, but they're family members that give away these kids in order to survive. So we got to stop this, and we got to be able to talk about it and not be scared of it. And there are so many people that have been afraid of to be involved in the mullet opening because they don't want to talk about sex trafficking. They don't want their businesses. We don't know if we can, you know, it's kind of sex trafficking. It's kind of scary to talk. Well, yeah, it should be scary to talk about, but we got to stop it because it may not affect you now, but it's going to affect a neighbor of yours or a young girl that's on the computer talking to some creep that's telling her, I'll be your daddy. If your daddy doesn't love you, let me do things for you that your father can't do. And they not only want your daughters, they want your sons too. Mm-hmm. They want them. And the younger, the better for some. That's the scary part.
It's evil.
It is. It's evil.
You're doing something about it.
Well, I'm trying. I mean, and the people that are involved in the sculpture, man, I watch grown men cry for some of the talks that we've had at this, and you've been around the talks that we've had. It got so hard, I almost said we can't. We got it. This is happy days, and I know what we're doing, but we've changed some of that stuff at the golf tournament. But understand, this has been a part of, for me, this is 6 months of the year for 20 years.
Sure,
this doesn't happen in 2 months.
No, I know it's a round year, dude. And had last year also. You had a garage. I can't imagine the.
Yeah, I got a garage filled with stuff, but this is about this family in this radio station. because they've given me the platform to be able to do this, and they've done it for 20 years, and they just let me go loose. Go do what you have to. We'll give you the platform. He and I will do the show out there next Friday. And I wish I could tell everybody to come on out, and I wish I could say we have spots, but we have an 18-team waiting list.
No kidding, Buck.
Yeah. The guys never took 1 cent of their money back from last year. They didn't take. They were saying, oh, no, we're not getting out of line. And a number of them have come back for 20 years. So there's a lot of old dudes that play in this golf tournament.
Yeah.
And next year we will change the format. We'll have the mullet open and the mini mullet.
Coach, you got it.
Well, the mini mullet.
Oh, really?
Sometime in October, yes.
You can't lose your phone this year.
Oh.
I mean, every year, I'm like the general's aide. I'm walking around behind you, trying, you know, Coach, what do you need? Coach, what do you need? I can't find my phone. I can't find my phone. It's like you're...
Dude, I've never played in the tournament. I have never played, but I get the biggest headache that day from running around, and I always lose my phone.
I know. I've had to find it for you many times. I'll go look for it, Coach. I'll go look for
it. I'm not going to lose it. But thank you to all those people, and thank you for listening and consider when you want to give donations. We've asked for a lot. Think about the Burke Center for Youth, and please think about the Refuge Ranch and what they stand for and what they mean. Yeah, one day we'll have these serious conversations, and if those out there who have daughters and young sons, just be aware of who they're talking to on their. The computer is a wonderful thing. I don't really get involved with it. I'm not even on Twitter, but it's also very dangerous.
It can be.
It can Absolutely. Be very, very dangerous. Back to baseball. Will Ty Madden start? Will Pete Hansen, Tristan Stevens, who will be on the mound? 9 o'clock this morning, we'll talk to Coach Pierce, and hopefully we'll find out at 9 o'clock, unless he's thrown that out there. If anybody knows, let me know. But as of this morning, we didn't know. And Colonel, him making that decision, to me, it's a decision on how you want to start this out. I don't believe it's a Tuesday game. I know the weather will be a factor on Friday, but I still want to get off to a good start.
Well, I've been in a similar situation where we're facing an inferior opponent as when we were up at Army and we were in the top 25. The key when you're talking to pitching, the key to getting out in front of this Southern team early mm-hmm. is to go strike one. Strike one sets you free. And sometimes, just because it's the NCAA tournament, a pitcher will start to get too fine with the strike zone. And you combine that with getting too fine with the strike zone, what I mean was just like picking at the corners. Next thing you know, you don't get a call that you normally get, one or two. You start to get more fine. And then suddenly you lose touch of the strike zone. And now instead of going 0-1, 0-2, or 1-2, you find yourself in 1-0, 2-0 counts. And now you've got an inferior opponent that can sit dead red, and perhaps they run into a couple. Next thing you know, you boot one or two, and now you're down two runs. That can happen. I don't expect it to happen. Coach Pierce is a baseball guy. He's all ball. He will talk to those pitchers. We're not going to be too fine here. We got to pitch ahead in the count. Greg Swindell will tell you go strike one,
right?
Everything changes.
You work your ass off to be number two seed.
That's right.
That what that does is give you a luxury of playing a team that's not very good.
You got a great regional.
So do you go outside the box and say I'll go down to number three, and it wouldn't work for me. I would go number two and no further. Or do you stay in what you've done that's got you there? And that's the pitch.
There's an
Ty Madden likes to pitch on Fridays. I mean, he's talked to Coach Pierce before, said, give me the ball. Like, why? I don't want to be two or three
and
or
if
whatever.
He says that, then I give him the ball. Because you are the number two seed nationally for a reason. But listen, we're not going to be too fine on the bump. We're going to go strike one. We're going to go 0-1. We're going to go 0-2, 1-2 counts. The moment you go 1-0, 2-0, 3-1, bad things happen no matter who you're playing. And if you're a reliever, by gosh, if you're a reliever, come in and throw strikes.
Yes.
For crying out loud. Throw strikes.
I guess you can, if you wanted to start your ace out, you can start them and – this is a group that, quite frankly, if the weather's fine, you're going to be up on this team. And I truly believe they're going to score 13, 12 runs or whatever it is. He doesn't have to pitch very long. You can pitch for three innings, get a workout, and then go sit down and let your relievers, let some of the other players play. If you feel as a skipper, you can go down to your number three and pitch him, then why wouldn't you pitch your number one for three innings?
Happen.
And if you got that kind of faith in everybody on your team, then you can bring others in the game.
That's right. But I watched it happen in Gainesville against the Gators, and they got in a bind. They threw their number six arm at us at Army, and we beat them. We beat the number five team in the country. And that can happen. Listen, when you are
I know it's not basketball, but I did see Texas basketball lose to who's that team up back out east here in Texas? I don't like to relay it back because it's totally different, where, you know what I'm saying, but if you take somebody for granted,
Jeff Howe called that one, my opinion.
And if you get,
you can't do that.
If you get relaxed to the point of, and then you get down by some runs, don't you start to get a little worried about scoring runs?
You start thinking, hey, someone's gonna, and then you widen your strike zone as a hitter. You start swinging at a bad pitch anyway, and then the opposite happens. You find yourself in negative pitch counts. But what we're faced with here, and this is going to affect a lot of teams in the great state, is this weather. Because this regional could really, when you look at the forecast,
right?
This thing could get pushed all the way to the middle of next week. Now, Dish has got turf, but when you look at the Fort Worth regional, you've got grass there, and that thing can get easily pushed all the way to Wednesday, Thursday. Now, if you've gotten out of your rhythm and routine with your pitching, suddenly you may find yourself, if you get through a regional, knock on wood,
right,
in a super regional, and now you're out of whack with your pitching. So that's what I love about this tournament. I get excited. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there Saturday night. As soon as we're done with the high ground, I'm headed to Fort Worth.
Okay.
And I'm fired up about that.
And I like to look forward to, sometimes you look ahead. and you start thinking about Fairfield and how many games they're won, and you start thinking about, well, we don't have anybody that rough after this. We can play Fairfield and move about our business. But once again, it's a team who's won games. You can think what you want. They'll never see pitching like they've seen against Texas if that time comes. But I'll just say this. If you win a lot of games, you get used to winning games, and you don't really care who you're playing. You're just used to doing the things that you do and win.
The day after we beat the Florida Gators in 2005, we got beat by Fairleigh Dickinson 26-2.
Really?
Yeah. That happened.
All right. Well, you got to be careful, and we'll find out. We'll find out here very soon at 9 o'clock what Coach Pearson and what this team is going to do. But this is a very talented baseball team, and to get the number two seed is good stuff. And how you take care of that immediately, I think we'll learn. We're going to learn.
We got a chance for three Texas teams to be in Omaha.
How about that?
Pretty remarkable.
It certainly is. Let's take a quick break. Come back. It is B&E, and it is a Buck Ons and Buck Off Thursday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E. He is taking a couple days here. Colonel Craig Flowers is here with me this morning, and I do appreciate that. I can't believe that I said Abilene Christian was... What did I say? Did I just say that they were east? Hey, My son was there for a couple semesters. What the hell's wrong with me?
Hey, South Bend's in the north, North Bend's in the south, and French Lick and where you think it is.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That slid right off my tongue like I knew exactly. Oh, no, it's in the east. No, it's not so much in the east, my friends. Out west. Sorry about that, y'all. Appreciate all of the Text messages are coming in this morning. Having Colonel Flowers in is always a treat for me. Talking baseball, I'm not so much talking baseball guy, but man, with this World Series, the College World Series that's coming up and Texas being a part of it. And, you and I talked last night. I saw a hit in hockey, Colonel Flowers, that was, the guy from Montreal just got waffled. And as it Starks, who's out, he took a hit last night. I've been around hockey a lot. I actually used to play hockey with my figure skates on because I couldn't.
Did you really?
I couldn't afford to use hockey skates. Those things are expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive.
So I played hockey with figure skates, and I could move around. But if you ever got hit with a puck with figure skates on in hockey, and that puck ever hit those figure skates,
you're gone, Johnny.
Oh, did that hurt? That's one of my feet are all jacked up now, probably. But last night's hit was, and I think you're all going to catch it if you're watching SportsCenter and stuff this morning. That's a hit on a guy that was meant to hurt that dude. And
we're talking about some of the best athletes, in my opinion. Some of the best athletes in the world are hockey players, rugby players, NBA basketball players.
Right.
And arguably gymnasts. But they can stop, as you said during the break, they can stop on a dime.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Jamie Frazier about this, that got carted off last night. And, you know, Jamie was a defensive back. You've coached defensive backs before. You know they can make some adjustments. You're coached to play to the echo of the whistle. But that right there, in my opinion, based on what I've seen it probably 10 times, that was a dirty hit. And I think he ought to be out for the rest of the series.
That's my opinion. Well, my opinion is, as long as the other dude is out, he should be out.
At least.
If that guy misses, if they go on and Winnipeg wins this thing, if that guy's still not able to play, and even though your series is over and that dude is not right yet, you should still be suspended until that guy can. And he hit him so hard yesterday; he went like right through him.
And then it looked like he was completely out when he hit the ice because he got hit twice by the ice the second time.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of guys get out is when they hit the ground.
Yeah, no question.
That's when it hurts for sure. We wanted to talk a little bit about the transfer portal and what's going on in college football and college basketball. And Zay, you can speak to this about the portal when it comes to basketball. It just seems to me that college basketball is going to come. You know, the great high school player now, as we just watched Greg Brown, who probably should have gone off and played maybe at a prep school. You know, prep basketball is fantastic all over this country. They're great prep schools, especially back east. There are some really good ones, and in Florida.
When you say prep, what do you mean by that?
They go and play against other prep players. They don't go off to college. They go, and what they'll do, I mean,
it's
after
like
high school. Yeah, it's like a JUCO. But you go play against some really talented, you know, and a lot of guys go to prep for a lot of reasons. They go because there are better players than there are, say, in your last year in high school. You go to a prep school and go play and get ready to play against some studs that way. You go to get your academics straight if you're trying to get in, as Zay said, maybe to a Duke or whatever.
Right.
But there are some great prep stars. There's some great schools that prepare you for the college scene, or hell, for the NBA and all that stuff. But this, it's going to get hard for even that, and especially high schools. Zay, it looks like the portal is going to be a place, and the transfer is going to be a place for college basketball players. And it's because it's not 80. You don't have to worry about all those scholarships. You just worry about four or five or six guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. I saw a tweet from Fran Frasilla, who's done, you know, color commentary with Craig from time to time, works for the Ford Leonard Network. And he said that he talked to a coach that's, with a top 40 program who's only going to get transfer portal players. Only guys that have been, you know, college bound, college ready, not going to waste their time with the AAU circuit, which could be absolutely dreadful because coaches in AAU are ridiculous people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they are.
You know, instead of dealing with all that, let's just go get a kid who's already established, like we've been talking about on
right.
the show, and, you know, put them in our program and rather deal with grown men already than, you know, kids that are trying to become grown men.
There will be a new acronym come out of this. I don't know what it'll exactly be, but it'll be something like, that's a portal team. That's a portal university. That's a portal program. It'll be something like that. And you're seeing a little bit of this, and you get a feel for it in football, too, with Coach Jake Spavital.
Sure.
I mean, he's going to get 50-plus players out of the portal. Now, there will be a lot of talented players coming out of that portal. In fact, right here in the great state of Texas, a young man entered the portal after playing 1 year of JUCO ball at Navarro Junior College. He's from Hereford High School. He's a tall 6'5", left-handed, red-headed quarterback named Dodge DeLozier. He went into the portal after 1 year at Navarro Junior College, and guess where he's going to play quarterback? For Deion Sanders. Committed last week. Now the portal is going to be what are the malls called out here? Not the real malls, but the outlet malls. It's going to be like an outlet mall where you're going to be able to go.
Way.
You're going to be able to go get a great deal on some talent on a great product. But there will be programs that are going to be portal programs. Now I do believe that every coaching staff, and this would be foreign to you. Can you imagine this? A coach that has to have eyes on the portal year-round, because it changes so rapidly. I mean, there are 1,800 players right now in the college basketball portal. More in basketball portal than in football. And that talent is extraordinary. Now, I was talking to an assistant AD in the SEC, not in Texas, so it's not Texas A&M, but an SEC school outside the great state that was asking my thoughts on and talking to their coaches, does each sport have a different view and approach to recruiting the portal? And I think they do. And the other question was, is it going to impact junior colleges? What will the impact be? Of course it will impact junior colleges. But what impact will it have in junior college football, basketball, and baseball? And as you know, three different cultures there. You know, people go to junior college for different reasons in those three sports. And it's normally academic, physical, maturity, which could be mental, emotional, or going to rehab for an injury of some sort.
Sure.
So, but you've got to have a coach now on your staff, whether it's in basketball, baseball, football, that is absolutely eyes focused on the portal that you can trust, because you can get carried away.
Well, yeah, you can.
And get a bunch of energy vampires that are very talented out of the portal.
I can't do it. I can't.
You might win for 1 year, but can you build a program on the portal alone?
Well, I think in the short term that you can. But my thoughts are, and if you're a high school football coach, I worry about your sport. I worry about your football team. I worry about your players that are those that aren't 4A or they're not 4 stars or they're not 5 stars, but they're 3 stars that won't develop until their senior year in high school. And then all of a sudden they get good. And if coaches are spending their time in the portal because they want a guy who's already played against college type of players and they don't look at you, you're going to miss out on some chances. You're not going to go to the schools that you're used to going to, because there's a lot of 3A players, three stars, that go off to big colleges. They still go to Michigans and places like that. There's a lot of 3 stars that we know all over the country. They end up being great players, or they end up being what they were.
Insert Drew Brees. They just pick
They end up being 3 stars. They don't get any better than that, but they're the bread and butter of your football team. Now, when you start now giving them less opportunities, your high school coaches, how many are going to go out a year? How many of those 3 stars, they're going to be going to other schools, and maybe they can then leave that school if they get good and then get in the portal and they can go to Alabama's or Texas. I think it's going to wreck high school football. I think it's going to really, really hurt the high school product. You know, I do. For me, I want to win games as a coach, but I also want to look at a kid coming out of high school who has developed and is going to get better through some of the stuff that he will be mine. The one who's coming in as a junior from some other place, and I want him just for the sake of winning and depth, and I don't really know him that well. He doesn't know me that well. He's going to be with me a short period. And are we ever going to really gel? Or is he just a piece of
talent?
Is he a piece of talent coming here, and what do I get to know of him? Whereas when I get a kid that comes out of high school, and whether he's a 4-star, 5-star, 3-star, that's like my kid. I'm bringing him up. I'm bringing him up to a lot of things that I'd like to a lot of things that I'd like to do, and to talk to him about this university. And no, you didn't come from Alabama. What do you know about University of Texas? Well, I don't really know much. I just know that I'm coming here because, you know, they wanted me to come here because there needs to be depth here, and I have an opportunity. It may make me better, but I don't know the real history about. I want a kid to know some history about where he's coming, and I want him young. That's just the way I'm thinking about it. But that may be a bad way, because in the bitter end, it's about wins and losses, and depth is important. But I think it's going to hurt. I think it's going to hurt your high school football player, not your product. I don't think it's going to hurt the product of high school, but it's going to hurt the player. And I don't know. And it's going to hurt the coaches. The coaches are going to be, they're going to be spending their time trying to get you in school at places that you may not have wanted to go.
Humility will be a big part of this. When you look at coaches like at Iowa State, at Penn State,
mm-hmm.
and look at Chris Peterson, who was formerly of Boise State. He only recruited OKGs, our kind of guys. So how do you determine shopping out of the portal if he's our kind of guy or not? I guess you've got film, but really it comes down to that human interaction. You've got to go down and determine.
It sounds corny.
Is he a good fit?
It does sound corny. It sounds corny. But
you got to listen to how they respond to your questions, and you've still got to do the homework and get in those homes, those families, the mothers, the fathers, because there are going to be programs that will still stick to development, development, development. Then there are going to be those coaches.
Well, that's what Sark
who are going
is saying.
To shop only from the portal.
Sark is saying that right now. He's saying, listen, while you go out and recruit some of these players, and you can't go out while you're looking and talking, so they can't go out now, but the kids can come on their campus. While you're spending so much time talking about how much you love them, we've got players that are here right now. We just got here. We need to love the players that we have.
Spot on.
Or we're going to end up being...
They're going to be in the portal.
Well, they're not. Not only are they going to be in a portal, you're going to get your ass kicked in the beginning of the season because you haven't got together with them. You spend so much time on great guys in the portal or what's going to happen the following year. You have to build your program on the players that you have with you. Good, bad, or indifferent, they belong to you. Get to know those players. And I think that's what Steve is doing with the players at Texas right now. He knows he can't have this all-star group of coaches that he's assembled go out and start gathering players and talking about how much they love them before you love the ones that you're with.
That's right. No care challenge.
Is it love the one you're with? Is that the one
that's
how
it.
That song goes?
That's it. No care challenge. You better take care of those that are with you right there. You're exactly right. Start from your own position.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Colonel Flowers is with us. This is fun. B&E on a Thursday.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
I want to thank Colonel Flowers for being here this morning, obviously. Appreciate that very, very much.
Welcome, Coach.
Coach David Pierce will join us, head baseball coach, University of Texas at 9 a.m. Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network will join us at 8:10 at the top of the hour. But we got hot or not, Zay. What do you got that's hot?
Thanks, Buck.
Or not.
Yeah, I got some audio for you guys.
Okay.
Some NFL audio.
Oh, baby.
Send it.
With the Carolina Panthers. And let me paint the picture a little bit.
Okay.
So this is a little bonus clip that goes behind the scenes with the Panthers, their GM, and their player of negotiations and salary cap manager with an agent who is shopping his player, Dan Arnold, who is now with the Carolina Panthers. So obviously this deal went well. But listen to how negotiations went with this player and the Panthers.
Should we call Dan Arnold or Burkhart? Let's see where that's at.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that he's signed anywhere, have you?
I haven't heard anything about him.
Just to see where it's at. And
okay. What's up, doctor?
Working through it, brother. Working through it. What do you got for me, man? You catch me at a good time. Look, I like your situation. I want the right situation for the kid. And I love y'all's play caller and what you're building there. So, I mean, I want to go catch a bunch of rocks. I'll do a 1 or a 2 year deal. I'm open for business. At the same time, the kid's never been paid. He's worked his ass off. I mean, you tell me what's fair. I mean,
Would you do a 2 years for $4 million?
Bro, you've got to come a little stronger than that.
I mean, we still have other needs. We still need to find a corner. I'd rather just do a fair deal that's good for both sides.
$2.75 to $3 is not a fair deal for this kid. Who are your comps on this kid? This is not like the blocking tight end who's never caught a ball. I mean, he caught 31 for $450. He's played 19 games, basically, since he was off a practice squad in New Orleans, and he had 6 touchdowns. I mean, you've been number 2 on your team in touchdown catches last year. He's the Cardinals' third leading receiver. He had more yards than Larry Fitzgerald. 40% play time.
Are you reading off something, or is this all by memory?
This is all by memory. Absolutely. He called me on this kid. Talk to your guy and let me know. Come on.
You talk to your guy and let me know. I know where we want. I know where we can go. I can't do it.
Let me know if you change your mind.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.
See
ya. I love that. I love that negotiation. That's good stuff. It's too bad the agent had just a little bit of stutter in what he was saying to them. he stuttered a little bit that cost him right there. If he would have spoke clear right at the very middle of all that stuff, they may have bought.
He was a little whiny.
He's just a little whiny, and he stuttered. I mean, when he started to go, this guy, the numbers here, he'd be your number two. And I'm like, damn, you had me at what you were saying before that. But when you gave me that little bit of a stumble, now I'm going to tell you, this is what we have
to offer. I wish
you
would have been like a helicopter pilot where he takes a deep breath before he keys that mic and speaks in a real calm voice and says, let me tell you about the young man that you may not have considered. 19 games, and then break down all the, in a very calm voice. Instead, he was more like, show me the money!
They kind of caught that dude. Zay, what do you think? They caught him? They kind of caught him in the middle?
I don't know. He ended up getting 2 years, $6 million.
Six?
Woo! Really? Yeah.
Could have got eight.
That's good negotiations. I like that a lot.
I remember negotiating with Butch Moore when I was covering him. Butch Moore, Bucky, I'm working this in. He was the point guard at SMU, played at Newburgh Free Academy. I'm playing high school basketball, and like Zay, had to cover some of these NBA guys that ended up being unbelievable. I had to cover Butch Moore, who played with John Conkatt at SMU. He went to Newburgh Free Academy. I covered Butch Moore. There was no three-point line. I held him to 45. He went on to dominate the Southwest Conference.
Did you actually hold on to him, too, at times?
You know, he was a gentleman about it.
He was?
He was like, well, you're getting closer. Hang in there. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Wait till you see this next one.
Yeah, I know how that. I know that feeling because I had all-pro Ross Browner from Notre Dame when I was the lead blocker in the full house at Boston College when I ran to him at defensive end.
That story. I love that story.
And he...
Tell it again.
I went to try to cut him, and he put his knee down. And then the next time I went in the short yardage, and the ball always came to my direction. I was always the lead blocker, like whether it's going up in the hole or the defensive end. 170 with a neck collar on, I was the lead blocker. No wonder my back's so jacked up. So I went at him for like the third time in a short yardage. And he just took his knee the third time and kicked me in the hip. And I came up like half limp. He said, dude, I'm sick of you grabbing me and holding me. Would you quit it? Would you quit it? I'm not going anywhere. I'm 270. You're a buck 70. You're not going to move me. You're not going to kick me out so that your running back can come underneath. The fullback's not getting underneath me. So here's what you need to know. This third time, I'm going to kick you right in the hip. You're going to have a hip pointer. They're going to get somebody else in the full house because you keep trying to cut me. You're a little guy. He looked at me like, come on.
The inside game that fans can't hear, whether it's in an at-bat or when you're standing on first talking with the first baseman or when you're covering a guy like Butch Moore, like Larry Bird was the biggest smack talker in all of the NBA. I mean, just unbelievable. That type of talk, especially in football, was when it occurs because no one can see your face, your helmet's on.
Ross Browner from the state of Ohio, the Browner brothers. I'm 170. This is on Monday Night Football. This is a college game, Boston College versus Notre Dame on Monday night at Foxborough. And he eventually every time I looked up at that helmet from Notre Dame, I was like almost pissing in my pants because I thought this guy was going to kill me. And the third time, he actually tried to kill me by kicking me right in the rib.
Love you, bud.
Right in the hip. Thank you, Colonel. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you, Coach, for coming and spending some time with us. We can take a quick break. Trailing the third will now be, he can never replace Colonel Flowers, but he will be coming in very shortly. It's B&E, Thursday, Buck Offs and Buck Ons.